Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast day of St. Hyacinth, the day within the octave of the Assumption, and also the octave day itself of St. Lawrence. So there are three orations, secrets, and post-communions added to the Mass today of those special events today. Also, please note this Friday there will be no confessions heard, but there will be confessions on Saturday morning following the 8 o'clock Mass. The reason, of course, for no Mass confessions on Friday evening, because of the ceremonies that are taking place on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, that is, at Immaculate Heart Seminary. One of our young men will be receiving tonsure, that is, he will be becoming a cleric. We have another young man from here, Mr. Colin Buckley, who will be receiving his cassock as he begins his novitiate year. And we also have beginning our brotherhood, Mr. Greg Wegenot, will be receiving his habit. So please do keep these young men in your prayers as they are in retreat right now, preparing for their big day on August 22nd. Also a reminder about the triathlon next week, the Oyster Bay Triathlon. The Berryhill Road will be closed at 25A, which means that in order to come to Mass, it usually affects this Mass. So to come to Mass, you'll have to go into the town of Oyster Bay and take a ride on Berryhill Road next to the Boys and Girls Club and the Hess Station, in order to get to Mass here, because the other side of Berryhill will be closed. Also, they're fast approaching is September 3rd. We know that is the ordination day of Reverend Mr. Newman to the Holy Priesthood. We also have envelopes available for the novena of Masses that will be begun, and they will begin on the Feast of St. Pius X. Those envelopes are available in the vestibule. Also, just a reminder about the standing in the stairwell. Ushers, I would ask you to please make sure no one stands in the stairwells leading up to the choir loft, as we have had our inspections recently, and therefore they continue to inspect us about various things. So I'd ask you to please comply with the rulings from the fire marshal. Also, concerning the time of Masses, there will be, beginning September 7th, as I've discussed it with Bishop Kelly, a third Mass because of the number of parishioners that we have. So there will be, we're going to try this schedule for a while and see how it works. There will be a 7:30 High Mass, 10 o'clock Low Mass, and an 11:30 Low Mass. So three Masses to which to choose on Sunday mornings, a 7:30, a 10, and an 11:30. Now, that will take place beginning September 7th, that is, after the ordination of Father Newman to the Holy Priesthood. The epistle appointed to be read for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For if the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I foretell you and have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you, that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your fathers knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all things shall be added unto you. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now, one final announcement. I do have to catch a plane to go on to the next mission today. It's a very tight schedule, so there will be no prayers for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart after Mass, that I would ask you to pray them privately. O ye of little faith, be not solicitous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the book of Psalms, we read, he made us, and not we ourselves. That is, who is the he that the Psalms is talking about? Of course, we know him to be Almighty God. God who exists from all eternity, immense and perfect in all of his ways. The question is, we know he made us, but why? Well, any seven-year-old can answer the question. And the answer is very, very familiar to each and every one of us, because we have learned it. But how few really understand? How few who really understand what is implied in the answer in our daily lives? And how few there are who order their lives in accordance with that answer? To know, to love, and to serve God in this world, and to be happy with him in the next. God made us for no other thing than himself. When he created us with an immortal soul, he endowed our soul with the faculties of an understanding and a free will. And the purpose for which God had in view of these, of course, is that we should use our understanding, that is our reasoning, to know the truth of Almighty God. And he's also given to us a free will. But people in the world today consider it to be the license of the will and not the freedom of the will. We do not have a free will to choose whatever we want, as the world would have us think. We do not have a free will given to us by Almighty God to choose something besides God. We have a free will to freely choose him, not to choose evil, not to choose sin, not to choose the debaucheries and all the things that were spoken of in the epistle today. We have a free will to choose him. It is said in the sacred scriptures that we are to fear God and keep his commandments, and this is all man. To fear God means a fear of offending him. Not a fear of him because he is an avenger or that he holds us in bondage with laws and constraints. No, we're perfectly free. In fact, the law that God has given to us, the laws of the Ten Commandments, are given to us so that we are free. By the law makes us free. That is, we are free not to be shackled by sin and Satan. If man complies and conforms his actions to what the psalmist says, or what it says in Deuteronomy, that is, to actually fear God, fear of offending him, and keep his commandments, then we can be absolutely happy in this life. And we will be absolutely happy no matter what our circumstances may be. But if we neglect the one thing that is necessary in life, no matter how flourishing or maybe our prosperity in this life, or how happy, seemingly happy it is to the world, one's life would be extremely miserable because of the fact that they've missed the very object for which they are created. The commandments which we are to keep have been summed up by our Lord himself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. To devote the faculties of our body and soul to any other purpose than honoring and glorifying Almighty God is actually to run counter to the purpose for divine providence. It is to give up all those rewards which are promised to us for the right and the correct use of ourselves and the creatures who are around us. Of course, we know that we live in the world, and we must live in the world. We're not islands. God did not create us to not be in this world. He created us in this world in order that we could pass through it to get to heaven. And therefore, we are to use the things in the world as though, St. Paul says, as though we used them not. That is, God has given to us all the beautiful creatures in the world for one purpose, to use them to gain eternal life. All that we have, all of the beautiful plants, all of the creatures that are around us, the music, the art, even our own talents, they're all given to us by Almighty God so that we can use them for His honor and glory and save our souls. And yet, how many there are who strive and cling so tightly to the things of this world that soon will just pass away. We are to use the things here that are conducive to our spiritual welfare. That's why our Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of course, has a twofold significance which our Lord was speaking of. The first one is that he's speaking of is where God reigns as king in heaven with all of his angels and saints. And we are to seek those things which will lead us to eternal life. The second kingdom is where our Lord is the king, and that is the Catholic Church. There are many who profess to belong to the Catholic Church and who have been made subjects to the kingdom of God by their baptism. But unfortunately, they do not share in her justice. That is, to be justified. To be justified means to be put into the state of sanctifying grace. That's what it means to be justified. And many there are who claim to be Catholics, who refuse to be justified. They who are the kingdom of God on earth by their baptism must earnestly seek first and foremost the graces which Holy Mother the Church has in her power to dispense to our souls. This search is not a vain search because we know Holy Mother the Church will give it to us. Those in the world who are looking for such power will search in vain, but not in the Church. Our Lord has told us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Our Lord told us to seek His justice, and we must do our part. We must seek it diligently because of all the temporal goods of the world are only here simply to serve us for striving after His justice. But the question is, who are those who do not seek the kingdom of God? Who are those who do not seek His justice? They are those who do not pray. Those who do not approach the sacraments. When they are invited to the banquet which our Lord has spread out before them, they begin to make all sorts of excuses. They are the ones who, although they profess to be Catholics, will not suffer and sacrifice the time or distance to present themselves at the sacraments, Holy Communion or Confession or the Mass. Oh, they will find time to travel many more miles for some small temporal advantage or even just some entertainment. But to make the extra travel to open their soul before Almighty God in a confession seems to be just too difficult. And of course, then there are those parents who actually make the living of the Catholic faith a secondary principle in the lives of their children. And the way they do that is because the Catholic faith in their own life and the practice of that Catholic faith takes a secondary importance. It's not important to the parent to pray before meals or to pray after meals. It's not that important to the parent to make sure the children pray their daily prayers. It's not that important for the parents to make sure that they're here on time for the beginning of Mass. It's not that important to the parents to make sure that Sunday is regarded as a Sunday. They go shopping. They bring their children. They take their shopping, take their children shopping. Or they'll make sure that their children are there well in advance of the soccer game or the baseball game with the neglect of attending Mass on Sunday. Because the soccer game, the basketball game, the baseball game, to the parents, is more important than fulfilling one of the commandments of Almighty God. Keep holy the Lord's day. They show by their example that the Mass, the faith, is just not that important in one's life. To these our Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and His justice. It is quite certain that by practicing our religion, we should, like the early martyrs, suffer difficulties. It is true. But what is the crown worth if it doesn't require effort? At this moment, the world's eyes are in a handful of creatures who are contending and have been preparing for the past 4 years and contending with one another for what? A piece of metal to hang around their neck. And they have sacrificed, and they have undergone torments, and their reward is a piece of metal. And yet they're willing. They are willing to suffer. And my dear faithful, are you willing to undergo the torments, the difficulties, the preparations for not a piece of metal that will simply disappear at the end of the world, but for a crown of glory and happiness that no one could ever take from you? We must be willing. We must be determined. Because you see, in our race, the race for our souls, everyone can win. Everyone can win the crown if they seek first the kingdom of God and His justice. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.